Welcome to the Film 5D Podcast, episode 13 of the Film 5D Podcast.
Oh, that's bad luck.
It's actually been a pretty good luck number for me, I think.
Really?
11's my bad number, which ironically enough, September 11th.
Oh. Too soon, dude.
Yeah, I remember that was a bad number for me before that even happened, so long story. But we have a lot to talk about today. A lot came out with Sony stuff. We got another question on YouTube. We are going to have an interesting fight. You are, in your segment, you're going to talk about a video that just came out from Realm Pictures, who we are subscribed to. Film in 5D is subscribed to. So we're happy to promote their video that's currently going viral. It came out on Thursday. We're shooting this on Friday. So we're going to talk about that. It's a kind of a cool new concept that they did. It was interesting. I have no idea what you're going to talk about on that. But then we're going to have a fight, and we're going to talk about the movie to us personally, and we're going to fight which one's worse. Which movie has the worst CGI? Which movie was the experience for us personally ruined because of a lack of solid CGI or just horrible CGI or, you know, whatever. We'll get into that. We don't know what we're talking about. I don't even have it written down on my page because I don't want you to see. So we're going to have a nice little fight about that. But as we always do, quote of the week, and don't look at my screen because I have it on my screen. I didn't write it down. The first rule of blank, cardio. When the zombie outbreak first hit, the first to go, for obvious reasons, were the fatties.
Oh, I thought it was
opening line of a particular movie.
I thought it was going to be a Fight Club at first when we said first rule.
Mm.
It's Zombieland, right?
Zombieland, yeah. Probably one of my favorite zombie movies of all time, that and Shaun of the Dead. My favorite. And 28 Days Later. Top three zombie movies for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that, we're talking about that because a certain fellow from that movie, let's go over to Rotten Tomatoes and take a look at what came out this week, which, honestly, there's not too much to talk about, looking right here, but Jesse Eisenberg was in Zombieland. He is currently in a movie, which, with Kristen Stewart, which I believe they were also in another movie together called Adventureland or something that was pretty decent. This one, I had high hope for. You know, I kind of saw the trailer. I was like, I like Kristen Stewart and I like Jesse Eisenberg in these type of roles. But definitely both of their careers have kind of been going down. Now, Kristen Stewart, you can argue, is going up because she was in Twilight. So you can't really get much worse than that, in my opinion. But, you know, Jesse Eisenberg has definitely been going down. I think people have realized he kind of only plays one role particularly well. And that's okay if you're like a character actor. But if you're like the main star and they're trying to market you as like the next big, like, kind of young movie star, you got to have versatility, and he just doesn't. I think it's pretty clear at this point that he's like plays that kind of Shia LaBeouf went through the same thing, you know, where everybody at first thought, oh, that quippiness, that's cool, whatever, and then you realize that's just Shia LaBeouf. That's what he does. Like, that's his acting. Like, that's all he does. So,
well,
not to talk too much about Jesse Eisenberg, but that was just my kind of like hopes for this. Is that I still like both of them, and I was hoping this would be a good movie. It's got 46% right now on Rotten Tomatoes.
What about his upcoming role in a Superman movie?
We'll see. Like, I mean, I feel like he's going to have that kind of same... We'll see how... that movie's just going to be so depressing anyways. Like, I mean, I'm sure it looks pretty good. Like, some of the newer trailers, I have some hope for it. But Zack Snyder, talk about careers going downhill, man. He's like, he was 300, Watchmen, Sucker Punch, Superman. Like, I mean, it's just been going down, like, honestly. I had such high hopes for him. Like, it wasn't even 10 years ago, basically. 2006 or 2007 is when 300 came out.
Oh, that reminds me. I have a quote to share, too.
Is it the quote of the week?
On Fleek. I recently learned that.
No. We are not, for the rest of this podcast. I'm beeping that out every time you say that.
On Fleek.
We're going to think that you're saying the F word. So
no, it is not the F
word. Stop. Just make it easier on both of us. Don't say it because it's just going to be beeped out for the rest of the episode. You got to say it once and that was it.
Okay.
Well, so not that much else came out. I mean, we got Hitman. We know about these ridiculous...
Dude, that's sad. I didn't even know it came out.
Video game movies. I know. What's the marketing been for it? I haven't even seen the trailer, but I see the word Hitman. I'm like... Man, like, they just won't give up on these video games. And I always like when I see a movie that's an hour and 25 minutes long, Like, Zombieland was, I think, a movie that was, like, 90 minutes. But most movies that are 90 minutes are not very good. Usually you got two-hour movies that are good. Usually it's 90 minutes. Basically, they squeeze it to, you know, basically 85 minutes, including credits, just to make it a feature film. Because that's, like, I think there's a cutoff for what makes a feature film. So they have to get it to a certain point, and they're, like, you know, they basically cut out as much bad stuff as they can and then throw out a movie. Or barely have enough shots to make a movie. But that's a little off topic. Also on here I have Straight Outta Compton, which came out last week. Did you see this one? We played the Dr. Dre album when it dropped last 2 weeks ago.
No, I have not. Well, but I heard it is on.
Please, I'm going to have to beep out all of these. That is the most ridiculous. That is that's straight Bowie. That is the worst thing I've ever heard.
It is not Bowie.
It is Bowie. Okay. Straight Outta Compton, 89%. Really good. It's been getting a lot of good reviews, kind of eye-opening. You know they're going to do some kind of sequel with, you know, maybe add in, like, Biggie and Tupac and, like, kind of show. They will, dude. I'm telling you.
That sounds ridiculous.
But I didn't get to see this, but I want to see this. So definitely, I will, if I see a movie this weekend, which I'm not sure if I'll have time, I will go see this. I'm not going to see any of these other ones. American Ultra, I can wait for DVD now. I mean, I was hoping that it would be good, but, you know.
Wait, and you're going to go see what?
Straight Outta Compton.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
No. Did you see it?
Then how can you even talk about it? Get out of here.
I'm just word of mouth. Good word of mouth, man. That's what it's all about. Mm. We're all about good word of mouth these days. And guess what had bad word of mouth? The Fantastic Flop, which I have written on my page. I have... Well, let me pull up. I know I had a screenshot that I had taken. What did you... I mean, I know you haven't seen it, but...
I thought it was a good movie. I saw it. It was awesome.
You did not
go
see it.
Go see it. Best movie ever.
Don't say that. That's horrible. Why would you say such a thing?
Okay, I was lying. It's not on Fleek. It is not.
Dude, stop. So I here's one picture I had. Basically just a picture of Mission Impossible. I think this was 2 weeks ago, beating out Fantastic Four on opening weekend. Fantastic Four was opening weekend, and then Mission Impossible second week, and it just barely beat it out, which I'm surprised Fantastic Four even made this much, but for a comic book movie, it didn't. And by the way, on the last podcast, I kept saying it was Sony Pictures. It was actually Fox. So Sony's off the hook on this one, at least. They still messed up Spider-Man, too, but, you know.
I know. They still make all those
so you can't make fun of Sony this episode, because they were not responsible for the Fantastic Flop.
You didn't even say how much they made.
Huh?
How much did they make?
It was on screen, 25 mil.
Dude, the people listening.
It made less than Mission Impossible is what matters. Even though Mission Impossible is on the same week, which I ended up, I think I said that last episode that I saw that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, moving on. News and rumors. Lots of news and rumors. From Sony this week. So, just a little, some personal things. I'm still waiting on my 85mm lens. I want to do a review on it. I was hoping to do a review in August on it. Now I'm starting to get really busy. I don't know if I'll be able to. It was supposed to come out mid-August. It was supposed to come out mid-July, and it got pushed up to mid-August. I've had this thing pre-ordered since May. So I'm kind of mad, you know, that I really want this, and I'm just hoping it comes out, because it's something I really need for my job, basically. I don't have a portrait lens currently. I use my zoom lens, which is not ideal. And then also I've been getting requests to do a review on my 28-135mm lens, which I have down there. Maybe I should grab it, but you guys have seen it, the Cine zoom lens. I'm gonna do I've had it for 6 months at this point, so I think it's about time to do a review. So I'm hoping to have a review at some point in September, maybe towards the end of September, between the two podcasts. I'm really busy in September as well, so we'll see. Maybe I'll get started on that in August. The 90mm macro lens, we talked about this early on in the... Why is this popping up? We talked about this early on in this, like when the Sony lenses were being announced and coming out. And here it is right here. Here's a picture of it. And it's been getting... It basically got, as you can see on the screen, it basically got a reward. Here's all the photography rewards.
Oh, nice.
And you can see all the different ones on here. And they have a cyber shot in there and stuff. And right here they have best compact lens system, this 90mm f2.8 Sony G lens, not a Zeiss lens, but just Sony G lens.
Wow.
And this is not
Sony?
Yes, Sony.
That's
basically they're saying that the build quality is superb, that it's like coming out with amazing pictures. I've always wanted a macro lens. I just can't justify spending over $1,000 for one when I could just get diopters for the ones I currently have to get, you know, not fully sharp images. You basically the edges become very blurry, but I can at least get focus on something very close. This one though is seeming to be worth it, especially since it's, I mean, compared to these other systems, the FE system is blowing it away in terms of this macro capability, which kind of makes sense because obviously that the flange distance or whatever you want to call it between the sensor and the lens is much smaller. So macro seems to be doing better on it, I guess. That's what I'm seeing. So I thought I'd mention that because I was definitely not so excited for that lens compared to the other ones that were coming out at the time. And then I want to clarify. Last week, so the A7R II is still getting crazy good reviews. Kai from Digital Rev did his funny review of it this week. I watched it. It was hilarious. But he really liked it, and I respect his opinion on those types of things because he does street photography. And the fact that basically you can kind of do now silent mode, which the A7S has, but you can do silent mode with 42 megapixels and you just walk around and do street photography. It's pretty cool. But on that note, I mentioned that the Super 35 mode was unusable in 4K mode, which was what was kind of disappointing to me. I got called out on it on YouTube.
Oh, who is
the
user?
And I want to clarify.
Who is the user?
I don't need to point it out. I got called out by multiple people, but the point is, my point was that it's unusable for guerrilla style. Like, you can say whatever you want. If you're not on a fully stabilized system or you're not on a lockdown tripod with very slow movements, the rolling shutter was, we had it on screen. It was off the charts. I don't have it up right now, but it was basically double the amount of any other shooting mode. And while I would like that kind of shallow depth of field, like mimicking of film in Super 35 mode, full frames is better, and you can always compensate with the aperture and put the aperture up a little bit more and just raise the ISO. But the one thing that I want to say about the A7R II, we've talked about it the last three podcasts, but the one thing that I didn't know is it actually has more dynamic range than the Sony A7S for photography. For video, the Sony A7S is still going to be better just in terms of the pixel-to-pixel readout and all those crazy things. But without spewing out a mouthful of stats, basically they're saying that the dynamic range of the Sony A7R II is among the best in the world for any camera. Hmm. We still haven't seen any official tests yet, so we're still waiting for that. I still can't wait to see it be compared to the 5DSR on paper. Like, this is like, you know, the clarity of whatever, it's just going to be off the charts. Because we already saw that it...
Is that much better? Or?
No, the 5DS was already losing to the A7R I, and it's going to get killed by the A7R II. Mm. And then the last news and rumor that we have from Sony is a rumor for a possible roadmap. And this is something that I found interesting. It's going to lead into the segment 3 because we got a question about this. So if you look at the roadmap right here, I have it on screen. It has September. It has basically the last quarter of 2015, and they mention, you know, an A7000 possibly being updated, the 85mm FE, the Sony one that we talked about. They also have a 24-70, which I'm guessing is going to be, like, I already have the 24-70, so I'm guessing this is probably going to be a 2.8, like a much bigger version, but a wider and faster version. They have that for September. In October, they have Loxia wide-angle lens, which is Loxia, the ones with the manual focus only, not really even Sony FE or Zeiss at all. Basically, just a completely different brand. And then November, they have the Sony A7S II actually coming out this year, which I figured they'd wait for this till at least January. So we'll see if this actually happens. So the main question that people are kind of wondering right now is the A7R II is, everybody's blown away by it. It's really, really, truly a hybrid photography and videography camera. It's really good at both, very solid at both, better at both than pretty much all the other cameras on the market, and it's all in one package. the thing that people are wondering is, what's the A7S II going to do? Because obviously it's going to have all the same features. It's going to have the, you know, the stabilization. It's going to have the 4K internal recording. But it's going to still probably be low megapixel. Probably still be 12. Unless they could figure out a way to do 24 and somehow magically get it to read out perfectly. It's probably going to be even more sensitive than the A7S. But if you're comparing it to the A7R II, what's it going to be better other than just straight video? So, and is it going to have a different form factor? We talked about that last time. Will it possibly have the form factor of the Canon CX10 or whatever that camera is? That leads me to segment three. We got a question from Bart Boonstra. Yeah. I'm going to pull it up on screen right now. He wants to know if he should wait for the A7S, if he should get an A7S or an A7R II, or if he should wait for the A7S II. Got any opinions on that based on what I just said?
Well,
hold on. Go ahead.
I think it depends on how you want to use the camera.
So clarify, he's got an A7S. He's in the same boat I am, where he's looking at the A7R II, and everybody's basically saying, go sell your A7S right now and get the A7R II. Or sell any camera that you had that's older than that. And the A7S is only, you know, just a little bit over a year old and a really good solid camera, but people are just so blown away by this new camera and the new processor and the new, you know, body and the new sensor and everything else and the internal 4K and everything that people are saying, just sell your A7S now while it's still worth something. And I actually considered it. And then I realized at the end of the day, the A7S is still better for video because I have a Shogun. Now, in Bart's case, he doesn't have a Shogun. The Shogun costs $2,000. So should he really spend $2,000 to get that 4K, or should he just sell his A7S and take that $2,000 and then the money he got from his A7S, and that will easily be able to buy him an A7R II? So I guess my advice, I don't know, you can't really give advice on this, but my official answer is to wait for the A7S II. Because it seems like if you have the A7S, you're probably primarily using it for video. Don't go buy the Shogun at this point. I like my Shogun. I'm going to keep my Shogun. I'm not going to sell it. But I'm only going to keep it because I have an A7S. And until I sell that, I actually need it for the 4K video. Plus, it is technically still, for the price range on the market below $10,000, still the best picture quality you can get out of a 4K camera using the combination of those two. So I guess my official answer is wait for the A7S II if you're mostly using video. My unofficial answer is that many people are saying that the A7R II is the best camera ever made for this under $10,000 price range. Mm-hmm. Based on that alone, maybe you should go get it. I mean, maybe it's not going to be as good for video, but it's still pretty dang good. And the internal 4K, I think it's somewhere around the quality of like a GH4, like 100 megabytes per second. Not as good for a full frame, but just the fact that they were able to do it at all is pretty good. You can always get the Shogun at a later point too if you want to get the uncompressed, which I honestly don't think you'll see that much of a difference because based on all the tests they've done with the GH4, you really don't. So my unofficial answer is just get the A7R II because people are crazy about it. But if you can wait until November and the A7S II comes out, you might want to just, you know, at that point, you know, the A7S II will probably still be cheaper than you going out and buying a Shogun versus you selling your Sony A7S. So that's my answer for that YouTube question. Thanks for the question. It's an interesting thing because I'm going through that same thing right now, where I'm wondering, should I hold on to my A7S and wait until the A7S II comes out, see what that's all about? And it's a little bit of a risk because if the A7S II gets announced and it's all of a sudden the best camera ever, then nobody's going to want to buy my A7S. So, but we'll see. I think what I'm probably, I mean, unless the A7S II just blows my camera out of the water, what I'll probably end up doing is I'm going to hold on to my setup that I have for video, but I really want that A7R II for photos. And I'll be able to use, then I'll have two 4K cameras. And I've talked about this before on the show. That's my plan as of right now, unless the A7S is just so good. But for me, for someone like Bart, who doesn't actually have the Shogun already and hasn't blown $2,000 on it because it's freaking ridiculously overpriced in that price, and that's not even including the hard drives you got to buy. Based on that fact alone, I would say either go for the A7R2 or wait for the A7S2 to come out. Definitely don't get the Shogun at this point because there's so many cameras coming out where basically what's going to happen is there's going to be better options than the Shogun based on the fact that there's going to be more competition because the cameras themselves can already do the 4K. So there's no point in blowing $2,000 if all you need is a monitor. There's plenty of good monitors out there for $1,000. You don't need to spend double the price just to unlock the 4K that these new cameras already have anyways.
Yep.
So you gave no feedback on that, but that's all right. Because these are all my experiences, but what's up?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I do see the value of selling the camera like right away while it still has the value. But I would say if you can wait, then you can at least wait and see when the other camera comes out to see if it'd be worth it for you to getting that camera over
this. It's just, there's the risk of it. You could wait too long and then at that point you can't even get rid of it. Like right now, I think you can buy an imported gray, straight from Japan A7S for $1,700. And yeah, it's imported version, so it's not the black official United States version, but for $800 off, it's a pretty good deal. So you're already starting to see discounts. And the way Sony's updating these cameras every 6 months. So it's kind of hard. Basically, you buy a camera a year later, I'm going to be behind. Though, as of right now, as of today, the picture quality of my video is still better than the A7R2. Granted, the whole setup costs $4,500 versus the $3,200, A7R2, and plus it only uses little SD cards. It doesn't need huge, SSDs, expensive SSDs. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. All right, moving on. We're going way quick. Let's take a look at that video that you're going to talk about. I'm just going to show it briefly. I don't want to get in any trouble. Oh, they're up to over 3 million now. So when I first saw this video, it only had 8,000. I'm actually a subscriber of Realm Pictures, so it popped up in my feed and I watched it. At first I was kind of like, eh, and then when I saw what they were doing, I thought it was pretty cool. So we're going to see let's just watch it in the beginning a little bit.
I need your help. What should I do? Come on. Just type start.
So my first question, so basically the concept of this is that random people on Chat Roulette got connected to these people and they ended up kind of telling the person what to do as if it was they were controlling an actual live person and through this zombiness and whatever. My main question is, were all these cool Doom graphics and stuff added later? Or was it that's what they were seeing? It was a live stream of the whole, which I mean, I'm in the business. I know that you can do this, but the way that it was able to keep up where his face would change to the pre-animated, he's tired or he's getting beat up or whatever. I just thought that was so cool. And if they could actually see all this, then that would have just enhanced the experience so much more.
Yeah.
So I didn't see the behind the scenes yet.
Yeah. I watched the behind the scenes because when I was watching it, I was wait. I was thinking to myself, there's no way. If you could see the screen right now, basically it's a guy, it's a first-person shooter. And it has all the graphics you would think of a first-person shooter. I don't want to spoil everything, but, it's got the life bar and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's got text. And, yeah, if you actually watch the behind the scenes, you see they have a team of people there, basically. They have a guy with the guy speaking there, that's actually just a person doing voiceover
right.
with a mic.
Yeah.
And then, they have...
That's the first thing I thought of when I saw it. These gotta be each person's gotta be controlling something different. That'd be too hard for one person to just do on the fly.
Yeah, and then they have one a sound guy doing all the different sounds and stuff, and then they have a graphics dude who's storing up the stuff basically off a soundboard, but it throws up graphics instead of sound.
That's I'm sad I didn't see the behind the scenes. I didn't have time. I saw this and I thought it was cool, and you basically texted me right after a couple hours after I saw this, you're like, oh, I want to talk about this on the podcast. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah. And even the video feed, they had a little, a wireless transmitter or whatever to transmit the video. But then they had a zombie in the back with the actual receiver and a long wire so he could follow behind him. So it has a clean feed.
Okay. So now I don't know what greater point you have of talking about this today, other than it's cool. We want to support it or whatever. I just came up with an idea, or I just thought of something that actually made me think. So when you're watching the video, there's obviously they're playing along. I'm sure they had some assholes on the chat roulette who were not participating, but the ones who were participating were like playing along and like say, oh yeah, go do that or grab that gun or whatever, and really into it. But there were some parts where like a zombie would like be coming up behind and they get shocked or whatever, and then like you could literally see the person on chat roulette like freaking out. And so my greater point is, I've always felt like games like Amnesia or Alien Isolation or Outlast, these games that are really scary, are such good horror games. And what makes them so good? Why can't they translate that to a movie where you're sitting there watching in a theater or on your couch? And but then you see these things, they obviously know it's fake, they obviously know those aren't real zombies, but you can kind of see them getting antsy and like actually getting emotionally involved in it. So it obviously, it's like a video game format and they're kind of sort of controlling it, but it's real life, so it feels more real. So my biggest kind of takeaway from it is, are we ever going to see that where like, so the coolest thing about video games is that you're emotionally invested in the character because you control them. You can't have that in theaters, but now there's like a kind of striking point in the middle where it's more real because it's actually a real person and you're kind of controlling them. Like, so in the future, maybe we'd see something more like this. More, I kind of equate it to, you can play a flying simulator, you know, video game, and you can crash and it's whatever. Or you can go take out a quadcopter or some kind of, you know, remote control device and go fly it around with your goggles. And if you hit that tree and if you go around that tree and you hit it, that's your expensive investment crashing. So it feels more real and there's more at stake. So did you kind of get that thought when you watched this?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking of, you know, when I was watching this. Like, the thing that made it so cool was like how much of an immersive experience they're able to make it for the person watching it. Like, I was thinking, wow, like what would have been like to be the person like watching that live stream and controlling that? Like, I would have lost my mind. And like being able, like, just think if we had something in the future where we could translate, like transfer that to like movies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was thinking, like, I don't know, like maybe something simple, like, I think, you know, like a choose your own adventure book. Like, I don't think those are that popular, but like, what if, say, for instance, you, like, they do it in YouTube all the time, like they have little annotations, like, oh what's your decision?
Yeah.
You know, that type of
thing. Did that in film school all the time, yeah.
Yeah, like, what if they had like a bigger movie like that, like where you actually controlled the plot and made decisions?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And even, I mean, the first step is video games. There's only a few video games out there where you can truly change, and most of them are by, who's the people who do Borderlands? Telltale Games?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
So they're the ones who do the basically like the Walking Dead game or the Game of Thrones game.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're basically watching the story play out, but the way you answer to each character and the decisions you make on saving one person versus the other essentially changes your entire path in the game. So they have these multiple branches where, like, kind of like in Goosebumps, remember, you used to go and then you flip to a page and then it says flip to that page and you could choose the ending. So they're starting to do it with video games. Like, a game like Last of Us, I thought would be so awesome if you could actually choose, like, which way you want to go. Like, save Ellie at the end or don't save Ellie. You know, like, just to see how the different kind of plot lines play out. So once we start seeing that more in video games, which we're able to see now because they have better, bigger and better systems that could have much more video game space, but the developers have to make essentially 5 to 10 games versus just one single storyline game. I think once we start seeing that, then we could also start seeing that in movies where you can kind of have interactive... I don't know if you could translate that to theaters, but definitely for a watch at home type of movie.
Yeah, and I think it'd be really interesting to see it there, because usually when I see it on YouTube, it always comes across as a little bit corny.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe it's just like the amount of time they do it, like the decision you make don't really matter, and like it doesn't feel that impactful because you can just go back and click it really quick. It only takes you 30 seconds to watch the thing.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're watching like a full-fledged production film, you know, and watch your choices like branch out. And I think that would be pretty interesting.
Yeah. I'm just trying to wrap my head around how they would do it with, you know, an actual movie and how to get people to control it. And would it be live? The thing is, this is live. Like, this is streaming. This is, how do you do this?
Yeah, this is something like, I don't know, but it would be cool to see more of this in the future.
Yeah. Like, I mean, his face changed, like.
I know. Yeah, and then like when they equip the weapons and stuff. Yeah. Oh man.
Oh, there was the one part where the guy's like, "Oh yeah, grab the dual wielding pistols," and he's like, "Oh okay." He grabs the pistols. Oh man, it was such like you're right. I mean, the experience that those people got sitting through that was awesome. Mm-hmm. I remember when I first saw the title, and I, you know, I've been subscribed to them for a couple of years now, but I don't, you know, watch too many of their videos. They don't really come out with too much stuff. But when I saw this and I started watching the first minute, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going viral. At the time, it was like literally under 8,000 views on my screen. I was like, oh, let's like it. Boom. Yeah. Like this video, guys. If you saw that, spread the wealth. Share the wealth.
Yeah, you should watch the behind the scenes, though.
It's worth it. Definitely. I'm going to watch that. I figured you watched that, so. All right, let's move on to the fight. We are way ahead of schedule. But, okay, like I said before, I'll just keep this recording, actually. Like I mentioned before, we're going to have a fight. This is going to be our first fight where we don't actually know what we're fighting for. It's not predetermined. We're just talking about basically bad special effects. So we'll see how long this lasts. Would you like to go first? You want me to go first?
I guess I could go first.
Okay. Just don't tell me what your movie is. Just describe it and like kind of build it up. Cause I honestly don't know. So I don't have any, I kind of wish I had a pencil right now so I can kind of take notes on how I'm going to argue against you. I'm sure both of our movies are going to have bad special effects, but it's definitely going to be a very subjective argument. I don't think in the comments I'm winning this argument based on what I chose, but it just hurt me. So it hurt me, my soul so bad that I just have to trash on it right now. So I want to hear yours, or do you want to hear mine first?
Well, you'll have to hear mine because this was kind of hard for me. Like, I feel like when you're actually watching a movie, right? Like if you watch a movie when it first comes out or whatever, at least for me, like the CG and stuff, you know, you always look back. You look back in the past and you see this notoriously bad CG. Mm-hmm. And it's like, holy, like, what is that? Like, it's not like that for me in the present, you know? Like, I'm busy watching the movie or whatever. Like,
you don't get pulled out of it by bad special effects ever?
I can't, like, yeah, that's the thing. It was really hard for me to find, like, actually think of a movie where I was actually pulled out of the experience just because the CG or whatever was that bad. But I do have an example of where my movie experience was ruined because of what I thought was bad
CG. Live, watching it live or watching it back later?
No, while watching it live.
Okay.
For the first time. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, because there's plenty of movies I can go back there and it's like, dude, this is so bad. Mm-hmm. But at the time, you know, I enjoyed it. But this particular movie, the reason why it ruined it for me is because I saw a trailer for it first. And when I first heard of the movie, I was really excited.
I have a feeling. Before you go further, can I just guess? Is it The Last Airbender?
No. Okay. Oh, dude, don't even. That movie was horrible.
We don't even need to talk about it. I didn't see it, so go ahead. I don't ever need to see it.
Yeah, don't mention that movie to me. Oh, my gosh.
Keep going. I'm gonna. Before you actually say it, I'm going to guess, though. I'm going to keep guessing.
Okay. So, like, I first heard the movie. It was an interesting concept. The setting or whatever was something that interested me, right? So I was like, okay, this looks cool. And it had an actor, a very famous actor, one of which who I liked from other previous movies. Well, really more like one movie with a trilogy. But, you know, I saw that he was in this and I was like, wow, like, that's kind of weird. It intrigued me because I wouldn't think of him as being, you know, playing this specific role. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, I'm interested in this movie. So, you know, I'm following.
You're building this up. Go.
Yeah, I'm following information for it. I see the trailer. So I'm watching the trailer. I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, it's something like this. And then one thing happens with this lady in the CG. And I'm like.
In the trailer?
What? Yeah. I'm like.
Well, at least you didn't have to see the movie then.
Huh?
At least you didn't have to, like, watch the movie then.
Oh, no, I watched the movie. Oh. No, okay, so I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, I was absolutely floored. Like, it looked so extremely bad to me. I was like, I forgot exactly when the movie came out. I think it's 2013 or something like that.
Oh, a recent movie.
But, yeah, exactly. A recent movie. I was like, how is this CG this bad? Like, look at it was so corny. I was like, how can you even put out a product, like a trailer I was disgusted. And so from that point on, I just thought trash of the movie. And so, you know, the movie came out in the movie theaters. I didn't watch it. I wound up, I don't know, watching it on my computer or something like that. And, you know, I enjoyed the movie, but, like, my I was totally biased against it. I was, you know, I wasn't, I mean, it was okay. And when that specific part came up, I was just disgusted. It was ridiculous.
I have no idea what movie you're talking about. What movie is this?
47 Ronin.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Yeah, okay. You know, in the trailer, you know, it has the...
This was on the top of the movies that flopped. Remember we showed that list and it was like number one, 47 Ronin?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't do good, but I thought it was cool, but that dragon CG with the lady was freaking horrible, dude. Like, she like does this thing and like whoosh, like transforms into the dragon. Like, it is so bad. Like, I don't...
Oh, yeah, I'm starting to see it.
Yeah, dude. I don't know what it is. Like, the reflection is off the scales or something, but it just looks like absolute crap. Like, they just took, like, this weird 3D dragon and dropped it in there. Like, I don't know. I hated it.
Hmm.
And so I like the movie, but I have no idea why it looked so bad.
It was this scene. It's not showing the full image, but I remember the trailer now.
Yeah, and dude.
So I never saw this movie because I think that also.
Yeah, it put me off so bad. So like that, like usually when I'm watching a movie, yeah, but like because I think part of the reason is because they did like the reveal of that, you know, that cool crazy scene in the trailer. I was like, dude,
yeah,
it looked bad.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay, well, we'll argue about that. It's gonna be hard because I haven't actually seen that movie, but I've seen that trailer.
Yeah.
So my movie is also a recent trilogy.
Lord of the Rings, Hobbit. Hobbit, 1, 2, 3, 3, Smaug. I don't know.
Did you even see the Hobbit?
No, I saw the first one, and then I was like, nah, I'm done.
Okay, so my movie, had super high expectations. My movie actually had a track record of producing great special effects, the best special effects you've ever seen in any movie from Weta Digital of New Zealand. I think you know what movie I'm talking about.
I'm not sure.
You just said it. Okay.
Lord of the Rings?
No.
Hobbit?
My movie decided to, instead of paying, and I don't know, don't put me on record for saying this, but I'm going to assume that they decided that instead of paying local actors of the native island to be the orcs and the elves in their movie, they decided, oh, we'll just make all that shit CGI. So my movie is The Hobbit.
Mm.
1, 2, and 3, but especially probably 3. There are some good special effects in this movie. The dragon in the second one, played by Benedict Cumberbatch, is awesome. The golem in the first one is awesome. The white orc in general is okay, but not that great. My main issue, was especially in the third one, was the battle sequences. The problem with The Hobbit is it should have been one movie, max two. They made it into 3 movies. We're not going to talk about all that. But the main thing that they tried to do was they tried to basically make a very small children's book into this grand Lord of the Rings experience, which it really wasn't. The Battle of the Five Armies was one chapter in a children's book. They turned it into an entire 2-hour-long battle where they had all the elves like coordinated perfectly, and like where in the Lord of the Rings, all the elves were like, while they were synced up, they weren't perfect. Like there was different ones and people were slower or faster at doing their arrows or whatever. In this movie, they basically made the elvish army entirely CGI.
Even
the close-ups, they all looked exactly the same. It was the most ridiculous thing.
Dude, Aaron, it's because the elves are perfect, okay? That's not a valid argument.
Yeah, so I'm gonna look it up. Elves special effects bad.
bad.
See if there's any image of, but they're not gonna show it, are they? Well, see if we can see this image. I don't know, but those are CGI though already. Just in this shot, this is disgusting. A freaking close up shot. So disgusting. Basically, all of these characters in the back should be CGI. They should at least have 20 characters in the front that are full, real. And I think they only have like one real person per shot. It's pretty insane.
They gotta have two, like the two main characters right there.
Yeah, yeah, and they got this big deer. I'm sure he's real, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
So, okay, so there's a lot that goes into why my special effects are worse than your special effects. My special effects might be good, but Peter Jackson, in his ultimate wisdom, decided that he was going to revolutionize the film business and shoot at 48 frames per second instead of the standard 24, double the frame rate. What does doubling the frame rate do?
Dude, that just, like, it made it look weird to me. Like, no, it was unnatural.
Regardless of like, what your brain processes it as, because your brain's used to 24.
It makes more work.
Huh?
It makes more work.
No, what is the effect? What's the quote-unquote positive effect of having to double the frame rate, that which actually ended up turning into a horrible negative that they should have never done?
Less motion blur?
That less motion blur is one. What does less motion blur really mean? There's one thing I'm talking about that's basically, it's much clearer. So when you have things that are basically double as clear, twice as clear, what's that going to affect? That's going to affect your CGI, which is what we're talking about right now. It's going to talk about all your set pieces, all the fake armor that you've made for all these elves and orcs and everything. It's going to make everything look so much more fake. So now, I don't know if you remember, but on Facebook, Peter Jackson, leading up to the first Hobbit coming out for a year, I think he did, every month he did a behind the scenes. And they were talking about how they were using the Red Epic cameras, and they were doing the 3D, and they had a 2 camera. They were talking about all the behind the scenes stuff they were doing. And at one point, he talked about 48 frames per second. And he mentioned how they did extensive research on how that was going to change the how things looked. And so they did interviews with like the props people and the stage people and the people who are building the sets and the special effects people. They were all talking about, oh yeah, we have to step up our game. Like, this is going to be twice as clear, basically. It's 48 frames per second. Like, we got to make everything look twice as real now, because you can't really hide it behind, you know, the old style film anymore. Everything's going to be perfectly crystal clear. They failed miserably. I don't understand how they did any amount of tests and didn't realize that it wasn't going to look passable at all. It basically takes you out of the entire movie. We'll move on to yours. I have more points for why this is bad. But my main argument is that this is caused by the 48 frames per second. And then not only that, also I mentioned that instead of hiring actors to play these characters, they basically just said, F it, we'll do CGI. Which you never want to do. Star Wars episodes 1, 2, 3 prove that you don't want to do that. What is J.J. Abrams doing? All he's doing is releasing videos at Comic-Con and stuff like that, like, guys, we swear we're doing actual animatronics, like, we have actual characters, like, this time, like, it's not going to be CGI every, like, it's not going to be a crutch, it's just going to be kind of like a blended thing, which is what it should be. Go ahead.
So yeah, I think probably the reason why it looked so bad though is because it was the 48 FPS you said or whatever, right? But I think if it would have actually been at the normal, was it like 25?
24.
Yeah, it would have been better, right? Like, I think it would have been better. So, like, imagine my Dragon Lady at freaking 48 FPS. Oh my gosh. Like, this movie was not
that is 48. Irrelevant. No, because dude, they didn't actually shoot it. They didn't try to change the game and do it 48 frames per second.
Yeah, but this Dragon Lady looked crap even at 24. It's ridiculous. Like,
that's one scene. I'm sorry. That's not, dude. One character. I'm talking about entire armies throughout the movies. All the orcs. All the orcs are CGI in these movies. It's ridiculous.
Okay, but dude, this was an important, like, this is an important point in the plot. Like, this was kind of like a climax.
I can't argue with the plot value because I don't know. But go ahead. You know.
Yeah. So I'm only
arguing on pure. Did it take you out of the movie completely?
Yeah, like, imagine, like, a climactic scene or whatever where you're supposed to be fighting this big baddie or whatever, and then they just turn into this dinky, like, ridiculous-looking dragon. Like, it was just bad, dude. Like, especially because it was in the trailer, too. Like, given, yeah, like, I think most of the other stuff was okay. Like, I wasn't really scrutinizing it that much, like, there's this big beast in the beginning of the movie. There's a lot of mythical things in there, so there is a good amount of CGI in the movie. But the dragon, I don't know why. I don't know what about it. It was just horrible. Like, oh, I just can't stand it, dude. And, like, the thing is, I think I was kind of naive because I was like, oh, dude, like, it's Keanu Reeves. Like, you know, it's, like, it has to be, like, Keanu Reeves, like, I think, I don't know. I think he set me up to fail. Although, I'm pretty sure there's, like, a million people out there, like, shaking their
15%.
Heads. 15%. Yeah.
This movie was not ruined by CGI. It was just a bad movie.
No,
I picked a good movie that just could have been so much better if they just used real people with real costumes and they didn't shoot it 48 frames per second and make everything look super fake. No. It's kind of like, you know, remember when the new TVs were coming out, 120 hertz, 240 hertz TVs, basically for watching sports at super high refresh rates.
Yeah.
And basically the main thing people were complaining about was that their movies look like shit now. I do it all the time. I go over to somebody's house and they'll be watching TV or they'll watch a TV movie. I'm like, why does this look so horrible? And then I like look through their settings and I realize that it's like at 240 hertz or some crazy refresh rate. And they're like, oh no, it looks super high definition and cool to me. And it's like, but to me, it just like blows my mind. It's like the motion blur is totally off and everything's like super jerky. And like, it just looks like it's being kind of fast forwarded almost. It's the same thing with the 48 frames per second. And the reason my movie, the reason The Hobbit should win this argument is because The Hobbit had The Lord of the Rings before it. The Lord of the Rings, I am in my head right now, other than Gollum, I can't, and then some of the other creatures, all the orcs, all the close-ups of the elves, all the close-ups, all the, like, kind of, you know, like, first 20 people, like I said, in the frame, were all real. They were all real.
And you know the one thing that bothered me, though? Freaking Legolas climbing up the elephant. I couldn't stand that. He's like, wee, doing all the elf stuff, and it was all the computer. Oh, it was annoying. Like, it was so weird and, like, loopy. I was like, dude.
Yeah, but, it's even worse in The Hobbit. In The Hobbit, in the last movie, he actually defies the laws of gravity, and he jumps on rocks that are already crumbling and falling down, which is obviously impossible. But he jumps up and climbs up the rocks that are already going down the mountain.
That can't be that bad.
No. They're just floating in air, and he's jumping off of them. Like, No, you can't do that.
Yeah. Dude, he walks on snow and he doesn't put tracks on the first movie. Mm-hmm. He's an elf. He's literally that light.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should, like, read the books or something, Aaron.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so the second one actually got the best reviews, which, like I said, it had the dragon in it, who was pretty cool. But there was so many, especially, and it was 48 frames per second. There was so much bad CGI. And it was so needless because they could have just hired people to play those characters and it would have looked 10 times better. Or they could have shot at 24 frames per second. Either way, I've seen the movie at 24 frames per second. It doesn't actually change that much. I mean, the CGI still looks pretty bad. It's a little more motion blur, so it's hidden a little bit more. But in general, the main problem, my main argument is, here, let me pull up this screenshot. Why is this character, an orc, with a close-up, why is that guy in CGI?
Who is that guy?
It's just it's just one of the random orcs. I think he gets his head cut off at some point.
Why is this specific orc?
But, no, this is a medium shot of an orc. Why didn't they put a guy in makeup in a costume? This is CGI.
That looks pretty real to me. From right here,
that's we are having a legit argument. You can't troll me. Why are they using CGI? Why do they use CGI for this guy? Couldn't they find some big buff guy and like give him a fake arm and stuff? Like, why do he have to be CGI the entire all three movies?
Because it's easier.
I'm sure he's played by a actual person with motion capture. That doesn't matter to me. Just put a guy in makeup. The guy in Lord of the Rings looked so much better than this guy. What was
Lurtz? Oh yeah, huh? Lurtz, baby.
Lurtz or the guy who actually played Lurtz as well. Who was there? He is right there. That's so much better. The makeup.
I don't know. It's kind of.
I'm trying to remember. Return of the King.
What about the Witch King?
Oh, he wasn't CGI, no. They're all played by the same dude, though. This one guy played Lurtz. You know, we're getting a little off topic, but he played all three of those. Oh, this guy. Gothmog. I was trying to remember his name. So obviously, lots of prosthetics and makeup. But that basically is that white, you know, character. They could have made a different version of this guy and then made, you know, have an actual actor behind there. It was CGI the entire movie. He was the only main character that was 100% CGI, other than Smaug, who was a dragon who had to, and Gollum. But come on, like, I guess honestly the main thing I think it was Peter Jackson's ego that caused this. It was him saying, my Weta Workshop digital guys, they're the best in the world. We're going to prove that not only can we make main characters all completely 100% CGI and all the army CGI, we can do it at 48 frames per second. We're going to show the world. We're going to change the film industry right now. We're going to revolutionize it. And it completely pulled me. There's a lot bad with The Hobbit. You know, the dialogue is just ridiculous. The cliche lines that Gandalf says, it's typical, trying to link everything together. It's just absolutely ridiculous. The fact that they had to drag it on into three movies, add characters that weren't even in the books, that aren't even good characters, don't even add anything to the story. All that aside, the CGI was the worst part of the trilogy for me. And I don't even own any of these movies. And I'm a huge, avid Lord of the Rings fan. I've read all the books any number of times. And I will never buy these movies. They're just so bad. And I hate that he, in his wisdom and ego, whatever you want to say, whatever he was thinking, decided that he could change the game and have special effects like this carry the movie, which, as George Lucas has shown with his latest installment of Star Wars movies and the re-edits or ruining of his original trilogy, special effects aren't that important to people. It's kind of like editing. You just don't want to notice it. Special effects are good if you don't notice it. Any other arguments you have for 47 Ronin? I think I won this one easily. Yours, like, I understand, like, I remember that scene from the trailer, but the fact that your movie only had 13% anyways, it's like, what did it ruin?
Okay, I'm going to say that 74% on The Hobbit is BS, okay?
No.
I'm going to say, no, I hated that movie, like...
No, this is the second one, you didn't even see it, so you can't even hate on it.
Well, I didn't even watch it, that's how much I hated the first one, Aaron. Like, okay, yeah, the CG is bad and stuff, but, like... Like I was saying earlier, like when I'm watching movies, the CG doesn't really ruin it for me. The whole movie, just the thing, it sucked. It was annoying. Like I had these, like, I don't even know how many dwarves, all these weird names. Like, do you even remember any of the dwarves' names? Like,
No. It was horrible.
Yeah. So like the movie was so bad. There was like, I don't know. There was like nothing to ruin, but. My experience at the 47 Ruin.
Nothing to ruin. How much money did you think these Hobbit movies made? They made probably over $1 billion total worldwide as a trilogy. There's a lot more at stake. They're following up a perfect trilogy. The Lord of the Rings won over 15 Academy Awards. Got nothing to say. I think I won this one, guys. I guess we just ended a little bit early today. Go home.
Yeah, sure. I guess. I don't know. I still think the dragon's worse.
Oh, that one dragon is not worse than everything I just said. But that's fine. Agree to disagree.
The only reason... Okay, I think the only reason why I made that much money is because it was Lord of the Rings and it has that prestige and stuff. If it was just a random movie, like, it would have sucked.
Oh, well...
Balls. Well,
the one thing...
Balls.
If you're trying to...
Balls, Aaron.
Stop.
Balls.
Not appropriate. We're not... If we're talking about which movie's better, there's no way you can argue 47 Ronin is better than any of the Hobbit movies. The Hobbit movies are bad in comparison to the fact that they were off the branch of Lord of the Rings and by the same director and same special effects team, same actors in many cases. That's why it was a disappointing movie. It's still fun to watch. It's still entertaining. Yeah, they're a little bit long. Yeah, it's a little bit confusing. It's not as clear and concise as Lord of the Rings, and there's not your... typical heroes and villains, and the script's poorly done and stuff, all compared to Lord of the Rings. But that's what we're comparing it to. 47 Ronin is just a bad movie. That special effects thing, at least you saw it in the trailer. At least you didn't have to go spend money to go see it, you know, in theaters. I remember I saw the trailers to The Hobbit. I had no idea that they were going to make a main character completely CGI and walk him around like Gollum, like, you know, it's okay. And then...
Hey, Gollum was fine.
Gollum looked good in the first movie. That was the best scene of the entire trilogy when he goes and sees Gollum. It's like, why were they able to get away with that again? And yet the white orc looks so horrible. And then the armies, the elves. The elves weren't even real. It's so sad. And the other thing that bad CGI does, or replacing actual actors with CGI, which I'm all about technology and being progressive, and like, why waste money on prosthetics and makeup if you can get away with it with CGI? But you still need a mix of both. You can't just go 100% CGI. What happens when you go 100% CGI? You get scenes like in the third movie where basically elves are jumping over lines of dwarves to go dive into the fray when like the dwarves have set up a wall and a phalanx for the orcs to run into. So even strategically, it makes no sense for the elves just to jump over and sacrifice themselves and like go kill them. They should just wait until the dwarves, you know, get hit with the phalanx or whatever. Not to get too technical about it, but or nerdy about it, but it's like you give Peter Jackson CGI instead of actual people, because actual people wouldn't actually be able to jump over a bunch of, you know, whatever. They wouldn't.
But they're not people, Aaron. They are elves.
Okay, but they wouldn't be able to do that. So therefore, they would have done the more strategic thing and just shot their arrows over.
So he's like, elves would be able to jump over a dwarf? I think you need me fact checked.
No,
dude.
Like a wall of dwarf. I don't even want to argue My point is, when you give CGI to a little kid, they just use it willy-nilly. Just do it like go crazy with it. When really, they shouldn't use it at all. All right, I think we're going to end the episode there. I think I killed you on this one.
That's okay. You're entitled to your opinion. Your Come on. Elves can't jump over dwarves' opinion. I don't even know if I can trust what you're saying. I haven't even seen these movies, Aaron.
All I know is that your movie was bad no matter what. There wasn't that one scene with the dragon that ruined your movie and gave it 13%.
I think you're not credible. I'm attacking you personally, Aaron. You're a bad person, therefore your argument is bad. Done.
We don't do that on this show. Yeah, so both of our movies had bad special effects, but mine just makes me sad. It just makes me sad. I read The Hobbit when I was 8 years old. I wanted that movie to be good. I knew when they split it up to three that it was going to have so many flaws that you've mentioned about how bad it is. That's all understandable. But just do exactly what you did in The Lord of the Rings 10 years ago. Use prosthetics. Use actual people. And then when you get the big army scenes, then put the people in the way back. Make those CGI. Why are the people in the front of the screen? Why are they CGI? It makes no sense. Like, how lazy are you? Answer, they didn't want to pay the New Zealand native people money because that's the whole reason it took so long for The Hobbit to even come out. They couldn't like get a deal signed with New Zealand. They were trying to get, like, they wanted to film there, and then New Zealand they knew how much money they were making, so they wanted to raise up the price. And then the union for the actors, the extras from The Lord of the Rings, they wanted to get paid more. They're like, oh, screw you, we're just going to make you CGI now. And it basically ruined the movie. That's just like what I think happened. And I'm sure that's the only explanation, because why else would they do that? And there are some real people, but it's just there's some scenes where it's just clearly CGI. And it's like, why?
You know why? Because Peter Jackson hates Hobbit people. You heard it here, folks. Excuse me.
In the Lord of the Rings, they actually had to have hobbits next to elves and men and wizards. In the Hobbit, they don't have to do that because it was just dwarves and hobbits. They're basically the same height, so they didn't even have to do any special CGI to kind of mix them together like they did in the Lord of the Rings. In the Lord of the Rings, it looks so much better than it did in the Hobbit, and the movies are separated by a whole decade. That's when it's sad, when it's separated by a whole decade, and it literally got worse. There's something like the dragon, they wouldn't have been able to do that, you know, 15 years ago. But there's some things that were better, but there's some things that are just take you out of it, at least for me. I think a lot of the people that I saw I've talked to that saw The Hobbit also thought the special effects were whack. Not fleek.
Whoa, Aaron, language. Whoa, excuse me.
All right, I think we're going to end that episode here. Go ahead and rate, comment, subscribe on iTunes, please. If you're watching this on YouTube, leave a comment below. If you want to leave us a question, we actually have segment 3 dedicated to people's questions now. So Please leave a question. It will be answered on the show. Your name will be shown on screen. It'll be all cool and stuff. So do that. Anything else?
Nah.
Follow us on Twitter at Filmin5D. We have over 3,000. We are about to hit 3,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Really?
How long it has taken for us to get from 2,000 to 3,000 is just out mind-blowing. But at least we're almost there. Not that we really care too much about that, but there we go. All right, see you guys next time. Bye.
Bazinga! Oh, shit. Uh-oh. You don't
f*** up. This happened last time.
Max, dude.
I don't know what happened. Okay.